It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The key themes that we are learning in this series on the book of Revelation, number one, is that the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. The second thing we are learning as a theme throughout this book of Revelation is that the book of Revelation has an abundance of symbology, but in all the symbolic language, there is still a literal meaning. Revelation chapter 6 speaks of the beginnings of the great tribulation. As we've learned previously in chapters 2 and chapter 3, the seven churches are given on earth great explanation from the Lord Jesus Christ, their current state of affairs, and to repent and to be reconciled back to Him. After chapter 2 and chapter 3, the church is no longer mentioned on earth. At chapter 4 and chapter 5, in chapter 4, the rapture takes place. We have a picture of what's happening in heaven in chapter 4 and chapter 5, while the great tribulation is happening on earth. The great tribulation is a time of trouble unlike the world has ever seen. The great tribulation is a time of judgment on the world that God has designed to bring the Gentile world to Christ. Tribulation is also a time to specifically bring the Jews, the nation of Israel, back to God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says that, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Hosea 5:15 speaks and says, "In his affliction he will seek me early." So the great tribulation is designed to do two things. It's designed to bring the nation of Israel to the feet of Jesus Christ by faith, that they may be saved as the rapture takes place. And the great tribulation is used to bring the nation of Israel to its knees in faith in Jesus Christ. Also, the great tribulation is used to bring all individuals, all Gentiles, into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This judgment is because the world has rejected Christ in their heart. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 gives us the reason why this judgment is being poured out on them. Paul says, "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In their heart of hearts, they reject the risen Savior that can redeem them, that can deliver them, that can save them." This great tribulation is spoken of by Jesus Christ and by Daniel. Luke chapter 17 parallels the great tribulation. Luke chapter 21, Mark 13, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 verses 4 through 31 give a parallel of the great tribulation. It speaks of the signs of Jesus Christ's return. It speaks of the pestilence, disease, earthquakes, and all the beginnings of sorrows. It speaks of the rise of false prophets and the love of many waxing cold. It speaks to Israel fleeing to the mountains for safety. This is a time of such catastrophic devastation that Jesus Christ said, except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Daniel says the same thing in chapter 12 and verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. The Great Tribulation is one of the most explicit teachings in the scripture. The Great Tribulation is 7 years in length, and it breaks it down by months and days throughout the book of Revelation. It gives us a detailed account of the catastrophic events that are going to happen during this 7 year period. And in the Great Tribulation, we're going to learn that God does not need nuclear weapons made by man. God will use the elements of the earth and weather to judge the world and to shake the world from the very foundation from which it stands. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. In verse 1, we see the Lamb opening up the seals, and as we learned in chapter 5, this was the title deed of the earth. This was a title deed that was in God's hand, and no man was found worthy to open up the title deed and judge the world and rule the world. No man was found worthy except the Lord Jesus Christ. This title deed that's sealed contains the authority to judge and rule the world. This title deed contained the histories and annals of all mankind and the judgments for a world that is rejecting Jesus Christ, as we explained in detail in chapter 5. Here in verse number 1, we see the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The word thunder in verse 1 speaks of impending catastrophe, as if the storm clouds on the horizon are in our view, and we can hear the rumblings of the thunder shaking the ground, and yet the impending knowledge that a storm is coming. This is the rise of the Antichrist in verse number 2, symbolized by a white horse. He has a bow, but no arrows. This speaks of the rise of the Antichrist through false peace, the rise of the Antichrist through false diplomacy. And this will be done through unity at all costs. This will be done with promises from the Antichrist, using the occasion of a destroyed world and individuals desperate for someone to save them. This is the rise of individuals looking for government to rescue them instead of looking to God. And this Antichrist is using this catastrophic crisis, this platform, to bring the world together, not to save the world, but to control the world and every individual living upon it. In chapter 6, we see the rise of the Antichrist as the white horse, and he is the first of the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse. There's a spirit behind these four horsemen, the catastrophes of the earth to come. And this particular spirit is echoed in Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. The Antichrist shall come with false peace and false diplomacy through the words that he's going to speak. He's going to have the gift of proverbial gab. He's going to know just what to say to tickle each ear out there. In other words, he's going to promise this and promise that. He's going to make promises that everyone's going to want to hear, only to use it to control others later. Verses 3 through 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So we see that as the Antichrist now begins to ascend, he is not revealed as the Antichrist until the middle of the Great Tribulation in chapter 13. Nevertheless, he is rising amongst the ranks, and in his rising, in his diplomacy, in his climbing up the global ladder of power, war comes on the scene. This war is not like other wars that are spoken of throughout the scriptures. This war is not like the rumors of war that Jesus warned about. This is a global war. This is a war that involves economic collapse, political collapse, and military collapse of all the nations, that gives way to the Antichrist taking over the economies of the world at a later time through his mark of the beast. The Antichrist taking over the political powers of the nations as he attempts to govern and dictate the world with a one-world government, and the Antichrist taking over military power of the nations as he will have his very hand on the heartthrob of all military command on the earth. The Antichrist will use this global war to execute economic power over the nations, political power over the nations, and military power over the nations. Verses 5 through 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." This is speaking of worldwide inflation, global inflation, as a result of the rise of a global war, as a result of global debt that we are seeing even to this day. Every nation is in debt, and it's just a matter of time before all the economies of the world collapse, one nation at a time. This massive inflation brings about scarcity of daily resources, where a day's wages will equal a day's supply of food. This example of inflation is spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. This inflation is so catastrophic and so global that money will be of no use anymore. For example, there were times during World War II that with such massive hyperinflation in some nations, it caused individuals to have to burn their money just to keep warm. For example, a loaf of bread costing $500, it makes the money of no value, because no individual will have that amount of money to buy resources. So the money, through hyperinflation, will be of no value. And as a result of this global economic crisis and this global economic collapse, it will give rise to the Antichrist to have a plan that will save the world economically by pooling the world's resources, by having global mergers of economies, by getting rid of paper money and going to a debit credit system. This economic global collapse will be used by the Antichrist as he rises in economic power, saying, I have the answers, listen to me. Verse 6 at the end speaks of, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This speaks of luxury still being available to those who can afford it. And by God's grace, this is happening so individuals can turn their heart to not look to material things just for themselves, but to turn their heart to those that need it, for those that are hungry, for those that are naked, for those that are starving and need sustenance. But instead, the wicked rich will use this opportunity to seek more. And during the time of the Great Tribulation, what could have been used for God's glory to help others, they are going to try and use to rescue themselves. However, the scriptures teach neither their silver nor their gold will save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4 say, riches profit not in the day of the Lord's wrath. Money will not save individuals during the Great Tribulation. Verse 7 through 8, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I heard, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Here we see that as a result of the first three seals, the rise of the Antichrist, war in the second seal, and famine in the third seal, that death and hell follow for those who are left behind. A fourth part of the earth will suffer in this way. Death here speaks of a physical separation of the spirit from the body, where an individual is killed during these first three seals. And hell speaks of a spiritual separation from God, as individuals are judged and die in their sins and go to hell. The fourth part of the earth speaks of one quarter of the earth's population dying as a result of the first three seals. There is approximately 7 billion people on the earth right now, and one quarter of 7 billion is approximately 1.7 billion people. So here, at just the beginning of the Great Tribulation, at the first four seals of the Great Tribulation, not even going into the 7 trumpet judgments or the 7 bowl judgments, we are already seeing 1.7 billion people that are going to die. At the end of the Great Tribulation, we are going to learn through Scripture that 5/6 of the earth is going to die. Approximately 6 billion people on this planet are going to perish. That's why we're going to learn that it takes 7 months to bury the dead. And here in verse 7, it also teaches that part of the death and part of the judgment is the beasts of the field killing individuals. There is such a scarcity of food, such a scarcity of resources, that animals on the planet will begin to hunt and eat people. Pets that were friendly to us are going to be so hungry, they're going to turn on their masters. This is what the scriptures teach. This is part of the catastrophic crisis and devastation that's going to happen on this planet. So much that we are going to read, and so much beyond our comprehension, that Jesus said, unless those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. Unless the Lord cut off the tribulation at the precise moment of 7 years, there shall be no flesh saved. This is Revelation chapter 6, part 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.